For the hand of God in all my life I see, and the reason of my bliss, yes, the secret all is this, that the Comforter abides with me. Oh, he abides, he abides, hallelujah, he abides with me. And I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. And once my heart was full of sin, once I had no peace within, till I heard how Jesus died upon the tree. And then I fell down at his feet, and there came a peace so sweet. Now the Comforter abides with me. Oh, he abides, he abides. Hallelujah, he abides with me. And I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. And he is with me everywhere, and he knows my every care. I'm as happy as a bird and just as free. For the Spirit has control, Jesus satisfies my soul, since the Comforter abides with me. Oh yes, he abides, he abides. Oh hallelujah, he abides with me. And I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. And there's no thirsting for the things of the world, they've taken wings. Long ago I gave them up and instantly all my night was turned to day, all my burdens rolled away. Now the Comforter abides with me. Oh, let's sing it. Oh, he abides, yes, he abides. Hallelujah, he abides with me. And I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. On that last, and there's no thirsting for the things of the world, they've taken wings. Long ago I gave them up and instantly all my night was turned to day, all my burdens rolled away. Now the Comforter abides with me. Oh yes, he abides, he abides. Hallelujah, he abides with me. And I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. Oh, that chorus. Oh, yes, he abides. Yes, he abides. Oh, hallelujah, he abides with me. And I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides. Once more on that chorus. Oh, yes, he abides. Oh, he abides. Hallelujah, he abides with me. And I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me.
Joy. I'm glad to be in church this morning. I'm glad to be in the house of God. There's folks who aren't here that ought to be here, but we're here. If you're glad you're here, let me see your hand. Amen. Amen. Turn with me in your Bible, and we will begin this morning with the book of Jude. The book of Jude, one verse, then I'm going to let you be seated, and then I'm going to share other verses with you. I believe by the word of the Lord, you will be blessed this morning. I do. I'm claiming that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The book of Jude, one verse, verse 20. Listen carefully. But ye beloved, that means you are a loved person, that God loves you. And this is the Holy Ghost speaking, so the Holy Ghost loves you. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. I can think of nothing in the Bible that is more exciting, more thrilling, more wonderful to God's people than praying in the Holy Ghost. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, you will be heard and you will be answered. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, you will be heard and you will be answered. Stretch your hand this way, would you, Father? Help your servant now to preach from this text that which brings honor to your name. Give me special wisdom by the Holy Ghost that will bless every member of this audience, every person in this congregation, and we will be lifted to a new height of expectancy in the Lord, in Jesus' name. Now, you may be seated. You may be seated. Now, preaching the Word of God is always a delight and a joy to me. There's probably nothing that any man of God loves better than preaching what God has given him. When God has given you truth from His Word and you're preaching it, it will affect your life. It will change your life, the listener, as well as the speaker. Now, I'm preaching this morning on sanctification and preparation for Holy Ghost baptism. Sanctification and preparation for Holy Ghost baptism. There is nothing more wonderful than living a sanctified life. Or you say, Brother Chambers, being filled with the Holy Ghost is even more special than living a sanctified life. I beg to disagree with you. I beg to disagree with you. Living a sanctified life is absolutely preparation for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost baptism will come shortly. But living a sanctified life, a set apart life, a life where Jesus is in charge, a life where you can say, I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. There's nothing like that. There's nothing like being sold out utterly to Jesus Christ. There's nothing like being delivered and free from the power of your flesh to control you, to affect your attitudes, your appetites, your desires, the things you want, the things you seek for, the things you get. There's nothing like a sanctified life. You can read of the old-timers in great revivals, and they'd get sanctified, and a shout would fill the house. Joy comes in sanctification. Joy comes in sanctification. You're struggling with the world and trying to give it up and can't, and trying to break free of it, and it won't turn you loose. You're dealing with things that just give you a hard time. You're under the old work of the flesh. It's really kind of miserable. It's like you're in a warfare all the time, always on the fence, trying to get one leg on one side and the other leg on the other, and can't get loose from a double-minded lifestyle. Well, sanctification decides all of that and sets you free from a double-minded life. Now go with me to the Bible, to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we'll begin reading, if we might, with verse 15. Verse 15. 23 is the great text. But I want you to get a picture. I want to take my time now here a minute. And I want to lay a foundation. And I want you to get a picture of what the Bible means by sanctification. What is the Bible talking about? What does the Lord mean for me? What is this text all about? All right, listen. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Listen to that. He's talking about a life that is a blessing to everybody, the good and the bad, the church and those not in the church. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. How often do you just lift your hand and just rejoice without feeling a thing? How often do you raise up your heart and your lips and praise God even before the joy comes? How often do you just rejoice evermore? Rejoice evermore when it's good, when it's bad. Oh, I like that. Don't you? Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Don't ever quit praying. Pray all the day. Pray in the automobile or the truck. Pray on your job. Pray when you're in the presence of friends. Just let your heart be full of praying. Pray without ceasing. That's a great commandment. But I'm telling you, it works. It works. It don't matter where I'm at. It don't matter what I'm doing. I'm usually praying off and on the whole time. Just talking to God. Telling him how much I love him. Letting the Holy Ghost speak. Letting the Spirit of God move over my soul. I love praying without ceasing. I really do. In everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. For what? This is the will of God concerning you. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning you. He wants you to give thanks. How many of you have stopped this morning and thanked God for something precious he's done for you? How many of you stopped this morning and thanked God for something he gave you this past week? How many of you stopped and thanked God for your mother or your wife, your father or your dad, some friend that did something nice for you, something that happened to you this week? I'm telling you, the Bible said give thanks. Give thanks. We ought to always be thanking God in everything. Give thanks. Oh, you mean the bad? Yes, thank God for the bad. It's teaching you how to walk closer to him. Thank God for the bad. It's teaching you how to be a better Christian. Thank God for the bad. It's trying your faith and showing God you mean business when you feel good and you mean business when you don't feel good. Hallelujah. And everything, give thanks. Quench not the spirit. You know, when you preach from scriptures like this, you want to preach on every verse, really. And when the Holy Ghost moves in a church service and you see he's moving, what do? Do you sit there and kind of hold yourself and quench and refuse to move? Or do you begin to join the congregation and praise and honor and magnify God? I look sometimes and I wish some of you would just jump up in your seat and shout hallelujah. I wish you'd just move anyway. You say, well, I wasn't feeling it. What do you? You don't have to feel anything. When you love God and you live right, you can praise him. Hallelujah. Quench not the spirit. Let the Holy Ghost have his way in you. Let me tell you, that's something sanctification will do for you in a big way. It'll bring you to a place that you can freely yield to the Holy Ghost. It can bring you to a place where you can freely allow the Spirit to flow through you and do his wonderful work in you. It'll open up your mind. It'll open up your heart. It'll open up your life. The Bible said, despise not prophesying. Now that is good. That's good. I've been in churches through the years, and usually there's somebody when the Holy Ghost prophecy is given, oh, I don't believe that was real. I don't believe that was real. The Bible said, despise not prophesying. Well, what if it isn't real? We'll leave that to God and the leaders of the church. They'll take care of it. If it gets out of order, I promise you, I and these brethren, we'd do something about it. So quench not the spirit and despise not prophesying. Let prophesying be a wonderful part of your life. Prove all things. Prove everything. Hold fast that which is good. Now listen, abstain from the very appearance of evil. The appearance of evil. Abstain from the very appearance of evil. Isn't that beautiful? I love that. Anything that might cause a careless thought about my life, I'm going to abstain from it. Never forget one day over on Wilkerson Boulevard, I pulled up at a stoplight. And all of a sudden, a prostitute was at my side window trying to talk to me. And I'm telling you the truth. It scared me to death. You say, it scared you? Yes. Yes. I screamed, no, and hit the gas and ran the red light and just took off. I don't want to be seen sitting there with a prostitute hanging in my window. I got out of there. I believe in abstaining from the very appearance of evil. I've wondered ever since then what that crazy woman must have thought. What a crazy man that is. Well, I didn't want to have no appearance of evil connected with my life. I didn't want to see nobody to see a prostitute hanging in the side window of my automobile. And I got out of there. And I got out of there in a hurry. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from the very appearance of evil. Now listen. And the very God of peace. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Woo! What is he talking about? Well, read these prior things. They're important. See, God don't sanctify you wholly if you haven't done something about these things that he talks about in these prior verses. It is obeying God in these prior verses that gets you ready to be sanctified. Are you listening to me? It is doing what God said. See that none render evil for evil. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Everything give thanks. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophecy. Prove all things. And then he says, abstain from the very appearance of evil. But now the clincher. And the very God of peace sanctify you holy. How many of you have looked at that word holy? Brother Marlon. Brother Derek, Brother Joe, it says W-H-O-L-L-Y. Didn't say H-O-L-Y. It said W-H-O-L-L-Y. That means from here down to here. That means the whole of your life. The whole of your person, body, and soul and spirit. Sanctify, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I'm here to tell you this morning, the God whom we serve is ready to sanctify you. The God whom we serve, and this is all of us inclusive. We who have already been sanctified 1,000 times, and we who will need to be sanctified another 1,000 times if Jesus tarries. All of us abstain from the appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Hallelujah. God is wanting you pure from here to the toes. God is wanting everything about you pure. God is wanting everything about you whole and clean and set apart. God is wanting you looking like a holy vessel, acting like a holy vessel, talking like a holy vessel, going to holy places, doing holy things. God is wanting you to be a holy person. And he wants you to be holy, holy. He wants you to be H-O-L-Y-W-H-O-L-L-Y. Holy, holy. I like that, don't you? Put those two words together and say them with me. Holy, holy. Holy, holy. Holy, holy. God wants you sanctified holy. God wants you so pure. God wants you with such a beauty in your countenance. God wants you with such a purity in your disposition. God wants you with such a cleanness in the way you dress. God wants you in such a purity in the way you act. God wants you looking like a holy person, looking like and favoring the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants everything about you to be a picture for the world to look at and say, that's a Christian going there. How many of you want people to call you a Christian? They called them Christians first at Antioch. Why did they do it? Because they were so Christ-like. They were talking, acting. They were being like Christ. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. W-H-O-L-L-Y. How many of you want to be sanctified like that? Could I see your hand? Oh, you say, Brother Chambers, I've been there. I have too. I've been there a lot. I've been there and then didn't been there. You know? Anybody else that had times you were there and times you weren't there? You know, anytime you got a little discouraged, a little, you know, down in the mouth, a little careless, a little casual in your conduct, hadn't been praying like you should, and somebody made you angry and you were spouting off at the mouth before you got your brain in gear. That's dangerous. Did you know it's dangerous to open your mouth when your brain hasn't been put in gear? I've done it so many times and have to eat my words. Have to say, would you please forgive me? I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to say something like that. You know, and go back later and say, would you please forgive me? Listen, there's nothing wrong in asking somebody to forgive you. You say, I've been saved 50 years. I don't want to ask nobody to forgive me. I've been saved 65 and I'm ready to ask somebody to forgive me. Don't bother me an iota. He said, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And listen, now, it doesn't stop there. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And that your spirit and soul and body. It's amazing. He starts there with spirit. Some places he starts with body. Sometimes he starts with soul. He always does it according to what he is communicating to you at that given context. And here, he knows it has to start in the spirit. It can't start in this body. You'll never get sanctified in your body before you get sanctified in your spirit. You'll never get your body cleaned up if you don't get your spirit cleaned up. You'll never look like a holy person if you don't get your very inner person sanctified and made holy. It starts with spirit. It starts with spirit. And I love the way the Bible always does that. It's beautiful. Read your Bible and watch for the times when it says body, soul, and spirit. Or spirit, soul, and body. Or body, soul, and spirit. Or however the context may be. Watch it. And you study that verse. And you'll see the reason for using that context is always beautiful. And I love that. I tell you, we serve a God that is smarter than you can imagine. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost always says everything he says just exactly right. So sanctify the spirit and soul and body. It starts with your spirit. It moves to your personality. It winds up in this physical flesh. That's how you get sanctified. I've seen people who were so sanctified in their body and mean as a rattlesnake in their spirit. They aren't sanctified. They may be cranktified, but they ain't sanctified. Are you listening to me? Anybody on my side? Am I preaching the truth? Raise your hand if I'm telling you the truth. What am I saying to you? I'm saying he starts with your spirit. He moves into your personality and he winds up in this flesh. That's how he sanctifies you. He never starts with the body. Don't tell me he does. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you a text in a moment that probably somebody will probably disagree with. Won't be a problem to me because it's new to me to see it like this. But I'm telling you, God starts with your spirit. He then moves to your soul. He then moves to your body. Sanctify them, spirit, soul, and body. And listen, and preserve them blameless. Until the King comes in the sky. That's really what he says. Preserve them, sanctify them, and get them so purified, get them so crucified, get them so set apart, get them so devoted to me, get them so completely yielded to me, and then keep them that way until they hear the sound of that trumpet. I don't want to be sanctified today and tomorrow and next week. I want to be sanctified when that old trumpet sounds and the Savior comes in the sky, because I'm telling you, there'll be no uncleanness that goes up in that rapture. Woo! Hallelujah. Is anybody getting what I'm talking about? You said, Brother Chambers, I'm already sanctified. I'm here to tell you, I know human life, you need to be sanctified regular. You see, you get justified, and the day's coming, you get glorified. Trying to say that word. Thank you, Molly. You get glorified. And here's this middle word, sanctified. You get justified. You get glorified. But in between those two, there is a long life of sanctification. The churches used to argue about sanctification. The Church of God preached it as instant work of grace, and that was the end of it. The Assembly of God preached it as a continuous work, and that's the way it was. And they both were right. It's both instant and continuous. It has a moment of beginning, but it never ends until you get glorified on that blessed day. I'm being sanctified this morning. Had a terrible night last night. I slept like a dog. It was terrible. It was a horrible night. I got up feeling like, Father, the devil's trying his best to defeat this sermon completely. And I felt like, you know, I just felt horrible. But somehow the Holy Ghost is not real. Aren't you glad of that? Can you praise Him a minute? Love Him with me, will you? Love Him with me. What a God, what a Savior. Now, we got to go to St. John 17. I may not get to my outline, but these scriptures are just wonderful to me. Go to St. John 17. We've got to get a good picture of what sanctification is all about. I love it. I really do. Let's go to St. John 17, 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. He don't want you out of the world. Notice that. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the world. See, He doesn't want you out. He wants you in. But He wants you to be kept from what you're in. You're in a world that's unclean. You're in a world that's a mess. In a world that can really get to you. You're in a world that's in all kinds of situations. And He wants you to be in it, but not of it. He wants you to be in it, but not of it. You're not of this world. You don't talk their language. You don't tell their nasty jokes. You don't get involved in their junk. You don't participate in their unclean lifestyles. But you don't completely remove yourself from being in that world. You got to work a job. You got to go get groceries. You got to go get your car fixed. You got to go down the street and tell a neighbor something that they need to hear. You're going to be in this world. But never let yourself become part of it. When they get ugly, you get sweet. When they get mean, you get good. When they get nasty, you get clean. I mean, whatever they say, if they tell a nasty joke, sir, I'm sorry, but I can't laugh at your nasty joke. I don't laugh at nasty jokes. You know? And just do that everywhere you go. You say, Brother Chambers, I get on people's nerves. Good. Good. They need somebody getting on their nerves. Maybe they'll get right with God. I mean, it's just the way we live. So Jesus prayed. This is Jesus praying. This is not John. This is Jesus. And He's talking to God. And He says, Father, don't take My children out of the world, but keep them from the evil. Then He goes on a little further. For they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Look at that. If you've been saved, you're not of the world. You don't belong to this world. You don't belong to this world. You're not of this world. You're not supposed to be of this world. So He says to them, for they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. But listen, don't get ahead of me. Sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them. How do you get sanctified? By hearing and believing the word of God. I'm here to tell you, listen to me. I don't care who you are, sitting right here in this pew. If you will receive that scripture while I'm preaching, you can be sanctified before I get to the period at the end of the sentence. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Sanctify them through thy truth. Let it happen right now in your heart. Sanctify me, Lord. Clean me up, Lord. Set me apart, Lord. Crucify me, Lord. Put me to death, Lord. For thy word is truth. Remember Wednesday night? I missed a point. Remember that those jugs holding 2 and 3 firkins of water? Remember what the Bible said? They fill them to the brim. You know what? Do you know what water is a type of? The Bible. I forgot that Wednesday night. When I remembered that, I said, wow, how did I forget that? You fill a vessel to the brim and it turns to wine. And that's exactly what will happen in you. You get the word in you until it fills you from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. And it's going to turn to wine. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you the word of God in a vessel full to the brim will turn to wine. Hallelujah. Somebody said, when did that water turn to wine? As soon as it hit the brim. Hallelujah. That's what I believe. As soon as it hit the brim, Brother Joe, it turned to wine. I'm telling you, you get yourself full of the Bible. You get the word and you're running over. I mean to the brim. To the brim. I mean to the brim. And I promise you, if the Bible is in you to the brim with all of your heart, it's going to turn to wine. And you're going to receive the Holy Ghost. Because wine is the type of the Holy Ghost. Are you getting the message? Are you getting the message? I'm here to tell you, we're living the day when the greatest need of the church is sanctification. The greatest need of the church. You say the greatest need of the church is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You don't have to worry about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You just get sanctified. I want you to know, you can't keep the Holy Ghost out of a sanctified vessel. He's coming. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, that's beautiful to me. Let me finish that text. That's very powerful. You ought to read it regularly. John 17. Begin reading with verse 15 and go right on through verse 18. As thou hast sent them into the world, even so also have I sent them. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so also have I sent them into the world. See, we are here. Just like Jesus came at the Father's command, we are here at the Christ command. Do you hear what he's saying? I mean, that is so powerful. And for their sake, I sanctify myself. The Lord said, I sanctify myself, that they might also be sanctified. Isn't that beautiful? See, the very thing that happened to Christ, he now wants to happen to you. You say, are you saying he wasn't sanctified? I'm not saying that at all. He was pure, totally pure. But he wasn't committed to the cross until he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he said, Father, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He was wrestling with that cross. He was wrestling with that crucifixion on that rugged tree. He was wrestling with what just about had to happen within moments to him. And he said, Father, take this cup from me. But then he sanctified himself and said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Hallelujah. Are you willing this morning to say that to him? Not my will, but thine be done. How many in this building are willing to give up your will? See, that's what sanctification is. Sanctification when you have no will any longer. Did you hear what I said? Some of you aren't listening to that. Sanctification is when you can say, I have no will any longer. I belong to him. It's his will. Our church still has numbers of people who've never been sanctified. Some of them claim the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but they don't live a sanctified life. They've not given up their will. They've not put their will in his hands. Oh, you say, does that mean they're not Christians? No. I take you to the Bible and show you people that knew only the baptism of John. And it said they really knew the scripture. They'd made a lot of progress, but they hadn't got across the finish line. They were still on the wrong side of the goal. And I'm here to tell you, when you get on the right side of the goal and he sanctifies you, your vessel is going to be a vessel of honor. I got to read that verse. Could we read that? It's a wonderful scripture, and the Bible is so full of sanctification. It's one of the greatest subjects in the Bible. One of the greatest subjects in the Bible. Go to 2 Timothy and chapter 2 and verse 21. Let's read verse 20 first. But in a great house, there's not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of the wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Now listen. If a man, woman, therefore purge themselves from these, he or she shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. Shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use. You are of little good to God until you get good and sanctified. Somebody, hallelujah, do you still love me? I'm not being fussy. I'm just preaching to you what the Bible says. Sanctified unto honor and meat for the master's use. I want to tell you, there's some of you, the Holy Ghost has been wanting to use you on your job. He's been wanting to pour his Holy Ghost through you unto those folks you work around. Begin to tremble under the presence and anointing of the Holy Ghost. There's some of you that God is wanting to make a blessing to your community, where you live, where your home is, where you meet your neighbors. He wants to make you a blessing to your children and to your husbands and wives, to your mommies and daddies, and he's waiting until you are a vessel unto honor and meat for the master's use. The master wants to use you. The master wants to put a touch of heaven on your soul. He wants to put a shine in your face that'll hairlip the devil. He wants to put a beauty in your voice that will tell the world something is real about this old saint of God. Something is real about this old saint of God. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. God, help us and fill us with this joy of a sanctified life. And I'm here to tell you, now listen to me. I hope I can get through. But I'm here to tell you, sanctification is real. And he'll do it for you at the very moment that you're totally yielded. When you understand you can't sanctify yourself by yourself, he's got to do it. But he can't do it until you give him what it takes for him to do it. I saw a sign some time ago, God can put your life back together, but he's got to have all the pieces. God can put your life back together, but he's got to have all the pieces. I'm here to tell you, God wants to do something with you. There's nobody in this building that God doesn't want to do something with, but he's got to have all the pieces. You've got to surrender. You've got to say, now God, I put on a good show, and I've had so much, and I'm a pretty good vessel, and I've been pretty good in the work of God, but now I want to go full-fledged ahead. And I want God to take hold of me. And I want God to use me like a vessel of his glory and his majesty and his honor. I want God to make me a beaming, shining light. Now, let's go. I know I'm reading a lot of scripture this morning, but that's okay. If that's as far as I get, I'm not going to worry about it. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Praise God. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries, all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. Now you say, Brother Chambers, here's a man, a woman, a one of each, a whole bunch of folks, and they can talk in the tongues of angels. Listen, as they talk in that unknown tongue that they have. Listen, as they proclaim such miracles. See, they had charismatics back then, just like we've got charismatics today. All of this was a performance. This was all them claiming to be something they wasn't. This was all these New Testament people that had come in through the Pentecostal messages of their day. And they was running around jabbering in all kinds of incoherent words. And they were declaring such miracles and great things happening. But the Lord said they didn't have any charity. They didn't have any real love. And so he says, this is nothing but sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. The Pentecostal church world today is full of 1 Corinthians 13 people who have all the sounds and all the actions and all the noise and all everything, but they don't have that love of total surrender to God. How many agree with what I'm saying? Am I okay? I mean, I never preached that text like this before. But I just today, the Holy Ghost got a hold of my heart. And he said to me, that's a performance. They're just putting on a show. They just look like it. They're religious. They're acting just like Pentecostals. They're sounding just like Pentecostals. I had a little lady that come here from Holiday Inn. It's been several years ago now. And we were talking. She wanted us to start promoting the Holiday Inn for camp meeting. And so I sat down and talked with her. She brought a nice gift of candy. And she was a nice little lady. And I said, but tell me something about yourself. Where are you going to church? She told me a charismatic church she was going to. And I said, now didn't you tell me a while ago you were old-fashioned Pentecostal? That your mama was an old-fashioned holiness woman? Oh, she said, yes. So if she saw me dressed like I'm dressed today, she'd go knippies. She'd be so upset with me, you can't believe how upset she'd be. Well, she was very worldly looking and dressed just like the world, but she was going to this charismatic church. I said, don't you see the difference between the old Pentecostals and the charismatics? She said, you know what? I remember the emotions in my church and the emotions in this church, and I don't see no difference. Did you hear what I just said? Her church back home was so compromised that their noise was no different than the noise in the charismatic church. And I'm here to tell you, if ever that was true, that's true today. We got many churches that have the standard even of holiness, but their noise is no different from what you find in a charismatic church. These guys showed me the pictures of the day in a church down in, what was it, Alabama? Where was it at? And they turned the lights out, and they wore lights around their neck, and they just shout and hoop and yell and holler and go into knippies in this old-fashioned so-called holiness church. Nothing but charismatic noise. I'm here to tell you, it isn't the noise that counts. It's the love of God in your heart that counts. Woo! Hallelujah! When you got the real stuff, it'll shine, brother. When you got the real stuff, it'll show. And when you talk in tongues, it'll rattle the cage of anybody close by when it's real. Moshabaya. Oh, raise your hand and just love on him a minute, would you? Raise your hand and tell him how much you love him. Hallelujah. 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 The difference is sanctification. That's the difference between a charismatic and an old-fashioned holiness church that's real. The difference is sanctification. Let me give you a word. How many know the word independent? Would you say that word with me? Say it out loud, everybody. Independent. Big thing today. Did you know that word is not in your King James Bible? Not one time. Pick up your King James Bible and search it from cover to cover, and the word independent never shows up in your Bible. The difference in sanctification is the difference between holy, yielded to God, and an old independent spirit. An independent attitude. I'll do it my way. I'll do it like I please to do it. I'll go where I please to go. I'll live like I please to live. There is no time for independence in the ways of the Lord. There is no time. You have given up all rights to independent when you got saved. When you gave your life to Jesus, you gave up your right to independence. When you gave your heart to the Christ and he washed you in the blood of the crucified one, the word independent has no place in your vocabulary. You don't use it anymore in your decision making. It's not part of your theology. You don't use it as a member of your church. You have no place for independence. You have no room for independence because you've been set apart for God and his kingdom and his glory. Woo! Hallelujah. Well, I'm having to forget notes this morning. But go with me, if you would, to one more text in the book of 1 John, chapter 2, verse 15. 1 John, chapter 2, verse 15. I love this Bible. I know you do too. It's a wonderful book. It's a wonderful book. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Listen to it carefully now. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. You mean I can't love that world out there? No. No. You say, it's beautiful, Brother Chambers. There's a lot of beautiful things about our world. I love mountains and I love rivers. I love to see the ocean. I love almost anything about the world in the natural sense. I really do. It's beautiful. But I don't love this world system. He's talking about the system that has taken predominance over the world. He's talking about the system that rules the world. He's talking about the system that's in charge of the economic world and the religious world and the government world. He says, don't love this world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's what he's saying. Can you quote that with me? If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Brother Chambers, I can't get to church on Sunday because our ball game is playing. And I got to go to the ball game. I'm telling you, if you were saved and you went to a ball game on Sunday, your heart would hurt you so bad, you'd be looking for the door to get out of there. I'm going to tell you, when you've been born again, the Holy Spirit moves into your life. You can't be saved without the Holy Spirit. Oh, you say, Brother Chambers, I thought that was the baptism. There is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But there's the Holy Spirit as a person that comes in when you get saved. What does he come in to do? He comes in to guide you, to protect you, to teach you, to convict you. And you get in the place of some overall sin and you're full of Jesus and you've been born again, you feel like you're out of place and you start looking for the door. I know, I've been there. Never forget, I first got saved. My mom and daddy didn't know anything about the Lord. I'm just a brand new Christian. I probably hadn't been saved a month. And they went down to the White Lakes. Anybody ever been to the White Lakes? The White Lakes down below Chadburn. You go back down in there and turn left, and it's beautiful water, clear as a crystal. And they went to White Lakes. And I never forget. I got on my bathing suit, and I went out there, down the pier, got in the water, and all of a sudden I got the feeling, what am I doing? Here I am with nothing on but a bathing suit, and I'm out here in these waters, and I got down to my neck so nobody could see me. And as soon as I could get out of those waters, I hightailed it for the motel room and got me some clothes on. You say, Brother Chambers, how did you know that? I'll tell you how I knew it. I'd been born again. I'd been washed in the blood of the crucified one. He took a hold of my life, and he didn't save me halfway or partway. He saved me all the way. I mean, he saved me all the way. And when I got there and looked at myself and looked around me and said, what am I doing here like this? And I hightailed it for that motel room. Got me some 16-year-old kid. I didn't know beans about the Bible, but I knew what it was to be saved. And my saved experience said, get out of here. Anybody like this? I'm talking about really being saved. I'm talking about really being set apart. And you see, that was only saved. Imagine now when I got sanctified. I became just a radical Christian. I became a fool for Christ. I remember when I first got saved and got good and sanctified and full of the Holy Ghost, I was a fool for Christ all the way back then. You think I'm one now? Yeah, I want to be one. Why should I want to be anything else? Listen, this is, to me, it is so beautiful. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. But look at the next verse. Look at that. Don't miss that next verse. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Brother Chambers, don't need to preach nothing else, do I? I mean, that just says it so utterly and fully. He says, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, which is of the world. I don't want none of that. I don't want their haughty pride. I don't want to be haughty in no fashion or form. I don't want to carry no grudges against nobody. I don't want to have no offense against nobody on the face of this earth. I've had a lot of things that hurt me to the core, and I can't remember 99% of them, but the few that I do remember don't mean a thing to me, because long ago they were put on the altar and given up. How many can say, I will hold no offense no longer in my life? Raise your hand. I will hold no offense. No, shake it a little bit, will you? I will hold no offense no longer in my life. I will love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, no longer in my life. I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified. Come on, say it with me. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm set apart. I don't belong to this world. I'm a new creature. And now, so pour on the wine, Lord. Will everybody do that with me? I'm sanctified. Pour on the wine, Lord. I'm sanctified. Pour on the wine, Lord. I'm set apart. Pour on the wine, Lord. I'm set apart. Pour on the wine. It ain't going to take us long to get full of the Holy Ghost when we get to this point. I'm sanctified. I give up the world. I don't want to look like it, smell like it, act like it, talk like it. I don't want to go where they go. I'm sanctified. I belong to the Lord. I'm crucified with Christ. Set apart, crucified. So fill me. Raise both hands. Let's believe God to fill us with that new wine. Would you stand with hands up? His Holy Ghost is in this house. His Holy Ghost is in this house. His Holy Ghost is here. Are you listening to me? He wants you. He wants you. He'll fill you with the Holy Ghost right where you're standing. It's amazing to me how tough it is for people to get the Holy Ghost in our day. It just about can't happen. Very few places. The whole point is we are not crucified with Christ. We are still so caught up in so much. We do so many things. We're so careless with our Christian walk. We're careless with our prayer life. We don't abstain from evil. Come on, church. Are you with me? Are you ready? I want to be filled with this new wine. I want you filled with this new wine. I want you so full of this new wine that you don't let me preach sometimes. I like it when I go to church and the Holy Ghost gets a hold of God's people and they start shouting happy and just have a Holy Ghost rally. I like that. You say you don't want to preach? Yes, I want to preach. But not against the Holy Ghost. Sometimes he just wants to move. Raise your hand and let's let him move this morning. Father, all over this building, somebody, I'll pray that somebody will get the baptism right now. Father, somebody that's been hungry for the Holy Ghost, help them to so surrender in sanctification that the Holy Ghost can just fall on them. Do it now, Lord. Do it now, Lord. I surrender everything. I give it all up. I put it all on the altar. I'm ready to go full steam for God. I'm ready to go all the way. I want God to use me. Oh, great. Do I want God to use this preacher? I really want God to use this old preacher. I want him to use me, Brother Dylan, like never before. Just raise your hands and wait on them a moment, would you mind? Please, before God, by the Holy Ghost. Oh, Holy God, I love you with all my heart, Lord. I love you with all my heart, Lord. I love this holy book. Oh, I love this holy book, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, do something for us. Move mightily in the Paul Creek Church. Why are we having to fight and fight and fight and fight? Why are there so many devils that come in us like a hornet's nest? Father, we don't understand. But we know it's happening all over our world. And we just stand our ground. How about squaring your feet?
My soul, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole. Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. Oh, but then I heard a sweet voice speaking, draw from this well that never shall run. Oh, here's my cup.